Welcome to the Home Project Podcast, where we talk about cultivating a thriving home and developing meaningful relationships. I'm Kelsey Harris, a therapist in training.
And I'm Alicia Anderson, an intentional homemaker, helping women feel confident and authentic home life.
This is where everyone has a seat at the table.
We just came from the most amazing brunch at a local new place, and we had something really fun today.
We ate a candle.
And it was delicious.
What kind of candle was it, Mom?
It was a butter candle.
A butter candle. I'm sure by now.
Have you guys seen this?
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, I'm sure you've seen it on Instagram or TikTok where it's like they make the butter into a candle. Yeah. And they like put herbs. You can put herbs in it.
It was delicious butter.
Oh. And then they light the candle. So as the candle burns, it's really like the butter melts. Then you take your bread and you like.
Yeah. You just have to not dip too close to the flame or you put the flame out.
Yeah, we did.
But yeah, I am actually thinking about doing this for our Easter brunch because I think it was so cool.
You should. I don't know. This might come out after Easter, but.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you could use it for any holiday, really.
I mean, I'm sure we'll post it on our Instagram if we do it.
You can't go wrong with butter and bread.
Nope. Butter and bread.
All the things.
Bread is holy.
Yeah. And it's good to get some good healthy fat in sometimes.
There you go. Get that pure grass-fed butter.
That's right. Definitely has to be grass-fed.
Yeah.
So some roasted garlic, all the
things. No, what's the fake butter? Betty Crocker?
Oh, no. Like margarine. Back when I was growing up, that was the thing. I don't even know if I'm sure they do sell that.
No, they did because I accidentally bought it recently.
Oh, okay.
And Jordan was like, what the heck did you buy? And I was like, well, I thought it was like butter sticks for like baking. No, Blue Bonnet.
That's.
And I was like, he's like, babe, this is not butter. I was like, oh.
We have ruined you guys by using good butter.
But.
Yeah. In my ideal world, I would just like to make butter, which I have. Remember, I've done that one time. I actually did it on accident. I was whipping cream for Pavlova and walked away and forgot about it and came back and I had butter.
It'd be like that with the KitchenAid mixer.
Oh, anyway, today we are talking about a fun, lighthearted subject, family fun nights.
Woohoo!
Yes. So we want to unpack for you just some of the routines that we had as a family when the kids were younger. And just talk about some fun ideas and things that some tips we can give to just help set you up for success and having meaningful family nights where you can help build relationship with your kids.
Yeah.
And with your spouse altogether, everyone.
The whole family unit.
Yes. So first thing was for us, we recognized that we had to make family nights a priority and something that we actually put as part of our weekly schedule. So when the kids were younger, it was more like a Saturday morning. We would go out. We lived in London at the time. So we would go out and get bagels and go to the park, or just we would plan these activities. It wasn't necessarily
picnics in the park.
Yeah, we had all kinds of things. But we didn't necessarily be like, okay, we're putting these on the calendar. We just planned, regular activities. Yeah. But as the kids got older and our lives got busier, schedules were crazier, the kids were involved in more activities, we recognized that if we didn't find a way to be intentional about family nights, that quickly a month would pass and we had had zero time together.
Like intentional time.
Intentional time, yeah. And we would have as many dinners together as possible, but often our house was a hub of people in and out. So that often felt like you never knew who was going to come for dinner. There was always enough for extra people to show up.
Which was also great.
Yeah, like we loved that, but also wanted to have some time that was exclusive just for our family. That was intentional. So we, the kids, and we're like, hey, we're going to put once a week on the calendar. I think it was a Thursday night, if I remember right.
I thought Friday. But
Friday, maybe. Whatever. It might have changed over time. We picked a night of the week that worked for our schedule. And we just said to the kids, like, hey, this is a family night. This is non-negotiable. Like, everyone's going to block it out on their calendars and we're going to make this a priority.
Yeah.
Because we really saw the value of investing time into you guys and just knowing that that was important, especially with the way that life was. And it was very busy. So we didn't want... I started to count down summers. I'd be like, oh, three more summers till Kelsey's gone to college or two more summers. Like, and I think just that reality, that time, the time and season of raising children was like, I was watching that clock come to an end. I started to feel this sense of like desire to create these memories with you guys. Another big one within making that a priority is keep your word. So if you say you're going to have a family night on a Thursday night, then don't let somebody else's crisis or another thing, if at all possible. I know mm-hmm. that there are times where things like, say you had an event at school. Well, then we would say to the kids, hey, we're going to need to move family night to a different night. So rather than just canceling it, see if you can move it to another place in the week. So occasionally we would do that, but we really tried to make it a priority as best as we could.
Yeah. Which I think we definitely felt as well. Like, you guys always kept that word, and it was like, that was non-negotiable. Obviously we had less of like a say, not like a say, but there was less that we had that would interfere with it. I think you guys had the potential of, oh, this person wants to do this and do this. Yeah. And I always felt, I'm not going to speak for Jaden, but I always felt like prioritized. Like, you were like, nope, this is not non-negotiable. Something fun that we also did came out of my pickiness, truly. So I've gotten better, but when I was younger, I was very picky. I mean, I'm still selective. I'm still pretty picky. My husband, well, when we first got married, my husband would tell me that I have the palate of a sophisticated 7-year-old, or was it 5-year-old?
I think it was 5-year-old.
I've upgraded. I think now I'm like 9. My palate's like sophisticated 9-year-old. So I'm growing. I'm growing up in my palate. But anyways, my beef was, Mom, Dad, and Jaden loved Mexican food. So every freaking time it felt like we went to, like, if we were to go out to dinner, it was like, oh, we're going to Mexican. And I just hated my life because
And you also made it miserable.
I was just like, guys, not fair. I was very dramatic, very expressive. And I just didn't, I don't know. I like individual ingredients of the Mexican food, but it was like, there's a lot of flavors I don't like and a lot of things I don't like all combined. And no offense to Mexican food, but all of it is pretty much the same. Just either folded, rolled up, pan-seared. I'm like, a burrito and a taco. Like, they're all the same thing.
Same ingredients, just presented.
So anyways, so Mom was probably sick of hearing me whine like a baby. So she came up with this idea of like, okay, we're going to look at the month. We're going to draw names from a hat.
I think that actually might have been Dad's idea.
Okay, sorry. Let's give Dad. Good job, Dad. So we like draw names out of a hat, and then you would get a sign. Like, we had like a month, I think.
We do a month at a time.
So you knew like, okay, next week I get to plan what we're doing.
Yep.
And then we would get, I think, either like a, okay, let's plan an at home one, or okay, here's like a budget we have, or this is what you can do. So then when it came to your week, you could pick whatever you wanted and nobody was allowed to complain. That was like,
this was the best rule ever.
Because then I at least got one week out of the month that wasn't Mexican food and no one could say anything about it. But it was also good for me to just shut up about going to Mexican and being fine with it. So that was really fun. And then we got to plan like what activities we would do. We did mini golf, like whatever you could pick. Movies, an at-home movie thing, whatever. That was the best thing. And I don't, maybe you can speak if there was any more logistics involved as a parent, like budgeting side of things. Course. I don't really know.
Well, and I think you can suit this to your family. So say you don't have a huge budget for family night. And there were times where we didn't, times where we were like, okay, we have a little extra we can put towards that, earmark towards that.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you can even, or if you have younger kids who maybe can't plan a whole night, just the whole point is to let them get involved and have a say in it, because then I think they take ownership in the night that it belongs to them as well. It's not just about, oh, Mom and Dad are planning this thing
that we have to go to, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
So it became a thing we couldn't wait to see what the next person had planned. And I think it created this sense of, I mean, we're a very competitive family.
Almost competition.
It was a little bit of a competition. Like, who'd come up with the coolest?
Mine was always the coolest.
Your mother.
No. Oh, I was just competing with Jaden.
Yeah, right. I'm just kidding. And so, like, it could be a thing where you're like, hey, little Sally, whatever. I would come up with a name.
Little Susie May.
Little Kelsey. Would you like to do this, this, or this, you know? Or and then,
what food should we make?
Yeah, like, just include them in the process. So we recognize it looks different.
Right.
According to your family.
If you have a 3-year-old, it's different.
Or if your kids are older and they're just like, this is stupid, like, then just say, hey, we want to, like,
pick one thing you want to do. Like,
yeah, just accommodate. And even setting a budget, there are so many things that you can do at home without spending a lot of money, or there are activities that you can do. And so maybe you're not a family who has extra budget to go out to eat, or things like that. No, we worked from home. So for us, going out to eat was a way to get out of the house because we were home a lot. And so that's just where part of our money was budgeted. But there were nights where we ate at home too. Yeah. And we're going to share some fun ideas here in a little bit.
Totally. You can totally make it fun at home. I think, honestly, I think some of more of my favorite memories were the at-home things that you came up with.
Yeah.
I can't remember, like, specifically. Can you go through
the ideas? Yeah, of course. Okay, so one that we did this for family night, but we also, this is a kind of a bonus idea for when your kids have friends over. So I'm going to throw it as a double whammy. It's called the drama bag. And this really can work for a lot of age groups. Once they probably get into middle school, that might be a little bit too childish, but we called it the drama bag. And I would get like a brown paper bag or whatever bag you want to use. And I would put anywhere from 3 to 6 random items. So it could be a hairbrush, a can of peas.
An orange. A TV remote
and a candle. And I would give the bag to the kids and I'd say, now you have to go, or there's two ways. You can give the bag and they have to go out and come up with a play they act out for us. So we would split up in twos in the family. So it'd be like me and Kelsey would act out one, and then the boys would give us a drama bag. And like, so each team got to act out their drama according to the ingredients that were in their drama bag.
Or parents and kids. Yeah. Or even I feel like you could do it like a solo. Yeah. If you have two kids, you could have like the parents are the judges and it's like kid, or the parents do it and the kids are the judges if you want judges, or you just do it for fun.
And the only rules were you had to use the items in the drama bag as part of your drama.
Which is literally so fun. Like I remember I was a pretty creative child, but I feel like this even just helps spur that creativity of coming up with things on the fly.
I mean, you guys would, especially when you had friends over, you guys would do this for hours.
Yes, I remember doing that with like my girlfriends and it just being like so fun.
So it's always a fun way to just like, I don't know, just have some fun with it, be lighthearted and laugh together. And really that's, you know, part of the goal of that. Another one we did, which is a little more crazy, but also we laughed so hard on this one, was we called it a switcheroo night. I think we just had just a dinner at home. I don't even remember the dinner, to be honest. But basically, we said the kids had to dress like the parents and the parents had to dress like the kids. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I've got that wrong. So we flipped. Dad had to dress like mom. And then you had to dress basically you had to dress like your sibling and dad and I had to dress like each other. Because I have the picture somewhere where I'm dressed in dad's clothes and he's dressed in one of my shirts. And then you kind of had to come out and like pretend you were that person. So it was funny because we all just came out in each other's clothes acting goofy and like trying to like sound like the other person. And
yes.
As stupid as it was, I remember just at the end of that night thinking, I laughed so hard my gut hurts. Like, we just had fun with it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, laughter is, like, the main thing that connects people because it's even subliminally sending a signal to your brains that you are experiencing the world from a shared perspective.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, like, that's why, even though it's silly, like, laughing together is one of the most important things you can do as a family.
And your kids might fight you on it first, like, oh, that seems goofy.
Yeah, if you have, like,
But honestly, just kind of look past it and get into it. And they'll eventually catch up to that and get into it. So I think one of you might have been like, this is dumb. But by the end of the
probably
night,
both
like,
was a different time.
Oh, because here was the other thing. We posted pictures on Facebook about that one. And people had to vote which one they thought was a better representation.
Yes. So,
not that we did that with every family night, but I think with that particular one.
Yeah.
Another fun one we did, there's two ways you can do this, was movie in the pool. No, we had a pool because we lived in Florida. So what we did is we got the kiddie blow-up pools.
Oh.
And we put them in the pool, in the big actual in-ground pool. And I had put a picnic basket and blankets and pillows in each of the pools. And so the kids were in one and Jamie and I were in the other. Only problem is I had got these at a discount store.
Oh, I remember this was actually one of my favorite family nights.
One of them had a hole in it.
So she's just sinking away. Not really, but like the kiddie pool was deflating.
By the end of the night, I think we all ended up in the same pool.
We're like being very careful not to fall. Because we're like fully clothed, just like on top of our pool.
But then we had basically put a screen out and watched a movie in the
and
pool.
And I think you made like little snack boards. Like that was so much fun.
But then also a way, if you don't have a pool, is just get a blow up pool and put it inside your living room.
That would have been equally as
fun. You could do
fun.
Like a movie night and everyone sits in the pool with popcorn and like, it's just creating a different atmosphere to just do something different. So that works great for littles, especially when, you know, they're at an age where
we weren't that little when we did that.
That is true.
That was fun. But I know what you're saying. Littles would find that fun too.
So another way that another idea for you is to have the kids help plan a meal and cook it. Now, obviously, this is age dependent. When our kids were at this stage, they were middle school. I would say, hey, here's $20. I want you to plan a menu. I'm going to take you to the store. This, I think it was before you were driving. You're going to get the ingredients and then you're going to make it, make the dinner. I'll help you if you need it. And then we'll help clean up. So one, it not only was a fun night, you got to cook, but then also it taught you just the process of, you know, buying food, planning a menu, budgeting, all of the things. So we kind of incorporated some learning with that.
I'm just laughing because nowadays $20 could not get you ingredients for the whole dinner. But back then it probably did.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, that gets you like maybe two of the things that you need. So, you know.
Yeah, you can
or, you
much.
Know, here's the pick from the pantry, you know.
Yeah. So whatever that looks like. And if they're really young, then just pick something like, or do like, okay, homemade pizzas.
Or just
and
have, everyone
we're going
to
make pizzas or whatever.
Or just give, I think also little kids feel really empowered just by giving them a job.
Yes.
So they even make like little kid knives that are safe for like preschool age. Like, oh, chop this strawberry for me or, oh, stir this thing. Like they would feel involved in that way too.
And for you parents that are more perfectionist, it's okay to let it go. And
there might be some snot in your
soup. It may not.
It's okay.
Oh, dear.
The blood of Jesus
covers it all. That reminds me, actually, this is a true story. I don't know if you remember this, Kelsey. At your preschool, when we lived in London, they did a cooking day. And y'all would bring, you'd make something. It would be like muffins or biscuits or whatever. And of course, all these little kids and their snotty noses and stuff. And you'd all make it and then you'd all bring some home. And you always wanted us to try it. I have to admit to you now, I never once actually ate them.
I don't blame you. I don't remember that at all.
I would go into the bathroom and throw them in the trash and or flush them down the toilet.
It's like the episode of Friends. I'm going to eat this owl on the deck. Oh, the bird took it.
I know. That's so funny. I just couldn't bring myself knowing I'd seen some of those kids in there.
No, that's fair. I would not.
Little noses.
I would not
but
be
you
eating
want,
that.
You'd always be like, taste it, Mom. Taste
You're
it.
You're like, okay, I'm going to go taste it over there.
Okay, it's delicious. Forgive me, Lord, for lying.
That's so funny.
But anyway, incorporate the kids to help.
Yes.
At any age. So in light of another dinner idea, we've done this a few times. I actually did this as a kid myself. And then I think when you guys were little, we did this. I call it mini dinner night. And it's making everything mini. So, for example, like, and of course, now they do like slider buns. Back then, they didn't actually do sliders weren't a thing. So we do like mini burgers. And then we do little fries. So I would take, like, I'd get fries from the store, but I'd cut them down so they were like half size. So they're like little short fries. I'd take paper plates and I would literally cut the edges off. So you have this tiny little plate, smaller than like.
Do they not make tiny paper plates right then?
No, they do. I don't know why.
I'm like, wait, why did you make your own little paper plate as opposed to buying the dessert size one?
I guess I just
this
felt
is
that
a perfect example.
Enough.
Mom had to do the most. Okay, she's like, "Listen, I'm making everything from scratch, including my plates."
I think I even cut the napkins down.
Oh my gosh!
I'm pretty sure I the plastic forks, I broke off the ends so that they were
so funny.
When I'm in, I'm
nowadays
all in.
You could just Amazon all of these things. Mini
this
forks.
Is true.
They make full on mini kitchens now.
That's true. Even little mini pans.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
You could do mini tacos. So I remember cutting taco shells out of taco shells.
I don't know why this is making me laugh so hard. I think just because now there's so many mini things and I'm just like, like, I feel like you made your life so much harder.
Listen, I paved the way for what we have now.
You're right. If you ever see a mini tortilla,
they actually thank do Alicia. Them
also, wait. Can we acknowledge that if you're there listening? Like, we are silent laughers. Jordan used to make fun of me. He's like, why is the Rice family, when they laugh really hard, it's like just quiet and fairly wheezing. We're not like loud laughers. Oh. So I'm just like, it sounds like silence probably as you're listening.
But we're laughing if you guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, pulling it back together.
So you made your own tortillas.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else they made. Mini pancakes, all the things.
I mean, everything. You can do anything.
I just made everything mini. And the more things I could customize, the better, clearly. Oh, dear.
It's really fun. So just...
Yes. So if you do have money to go out, another fun idea that we did, we called it a dessert crawl. Mm-hmm. So we actually ate dinner at home this night. And we went to, I don't know, what do you think, 3 restaurants maybe or 4? We each got to pick a restaurant. That's what it was. We went and got one dessert at each place and we all shared it. So by the time we'd done, we had 4
we're
desserts.
We're a little stuffed then, but you all share one.
Yeah. And we didn't eat, but I think we also ordered waters. Like, we didn't order a ton of stuff at every place.
Right.
So, but we literally just each person got to pick a dessert at each of the locations or like, sorry, each restaurant, one person got to pick a dessert.
This wouldn't work if you have 7 kids. You'd have to go to a lot of places.
It might be a lot.
Just pick like a few.
Or you could have appetizer at one place, a meal, and then dessert.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just breaking it up, doing something fun. And it could be even something as, like, if you're on a low budget, then it could be like a McDonald's dessert. It doesn't have to be at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Or a song or
like,
or whatever.
I think there's actually challenges now that have gone around like Instagram and TikTok.
Yep.
Like for couples where it's like you rock, paper, scissors and whoever wins gets to pick the first thing. And it's like, they get drinks from like Sonic. And then you go and get, it, you even get like an appetizer
again,
from Target.
We paved the way for all these great ideas.
Every family idea. Copyright Alicia. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. What about mystery dinner?
Yes, that I was saving that one for last because I feel like that one takes the most explanation.
That's my favorite one.
So I think this might have been the very first one I did for you guys too. We started planning these officially like this, but it's called mystery dinner. You can reach out to us if you need more specific instructions, but I'm going to give you just an overview. So what we would do is I would have 9 items on the menu, including a knife as one item, a fork, a spoon, and a napkin. So you want to have a starter. So we did like a salad. Then we did like a pasta, spaghetti, or Alfredo.
Messy.
Something messy. Then we had garlic bread. And then we had I had like the layered pudding dessert because I wanted something messy. And here's why. Each person gets a menu and they have to write. There's 3 slots and numbers 1 through 9. So they have to put, like, say, 3, 5, 2.
You're just picking random numbers to fill in your 3 spots per course.
Using all the numbers. What you don't know is what numbers correlate to what item on the menu. So then I would have a list that said, like, fork is number 1. Spaghetti is number 2. Garlic is number 3.
Yeah.
So the first course... you serve whatever 3 numbers they've listed. So they might get spaghetti, dessert, and a napkin with no silverware.
No silverware.
So anytime someone got a course with no silverware, I would ring a bell and bring out a baby bib and put on them because that meant they had to eat it with their fingers. And of course, then they're sitting there eating spaghetti and putting dessert with their fingers. So just fun and messy. And then you would take away that course. So you remove everything from the table.
You can't hold your fork.
Exactly. And then you bring the second course and you do this through the third course. So inevitably, by the end of the night, someone has to eat something they shouldn't with their fingers.
Yes.
Or you might have.
Or you get lucky.
Yeah. Or you might have garlic bread and dessert and a knife. So it just was fun, again.
Yeah, and you can do it all sorts of ways. Like, recently I went down to Florida to visit our family and my little cousins remembered you doing this. And they were like, can we please play mystery dinner? So I was like, okay, sure. But we couldn't remember exactly. I think me and my best friend Hannah did it for them. But we even separated like dessert. They wanted way more courses than three. Right. We did like five rounds. But we separated like an ice cream cone, the ice cream, and the toppings. Oh, so nice. It was like spaghetti and whipped cream or like whatever.
Yikes.
It's so much fun. Especially for younger kids, but it also like can push older kids to just be silly on purpose and like kind of get them out of there.
It teaches them a little bit of flexibility.
Yes. For sure.
Yes. So.
So yeah, those are just a few ideas.
There are so many you can do. It's just, again, like Kelsey said, about creating meaningful connections. So have some fun, be silly. Don't be, you know, so concerned about everything being perfect. It's really just about laughing together and creating a memory.
Yeah, for sure. In addition to all of that, another point that we want to kind of highlight is really try to make these family nights a conflict-free zone. When we're talking about having family night, we've already said this is a time for laughter and connection. Maybe this is not the time that you're harping them on their grades or stuff like that. This is a time where you are connecting and you're trying to be intentional with them. So something to do is to learn how to ask really meaningful questions to your kids. Because even though, oh yeah, they're your kids and your family and you know everything, sometimes like your kids just need a specific question to be asked. So some examples are you can ask, what was the best thing that happened to you today? Or what is something you wish that we could do as a family? Another one of my favorites is with a kid, like, is there anything you want me to know about you? It's just like, even though they're kind of self-explanatory, these are also a little bit different wording to help you not get yes or no answers.
Or how was your day? Fine.
Fine. No, it's like, tell me the best thing that happened to you today. And then maybe if you have younger kids, like toddlers or preschools that really can't fully answer those questions, even something as simple as, hey, what makes you super happy right now or today? Yeah. Or on the other side, like, well, hey, what makes you super sad right now? Just like to be intentional, what's going on? And then with asking those questions, learn active listening. We've talked about it a few times before. We will talk about it until we die. Active listening is the key in any relationship that you have. So this is listening to them fully.
Yep.
Not jumping in to say something when they're finished talking. Listening to what they have to say and then taking a moment and responding. And then also with active listening, like practical things, keep eye contact. You know, put your phone away, because if your phone's out, then it signals to them. Kids even notice when you're not paying attention to them. And even repeating back, you know, if you're like, hey, tell me what was the best thing that happened to you today? And your kid's like, oh, well, you know, I got to hang out with my friend so-and-so, and it goes on and on. And you're like, oh, wow, so it sounds like you got some really meaningful time with this friend so-and-so. Can you tell me more about that friend? Then you're opening up further conversation. Yeah. And again, I kind of mentioned this at the earlier, but try to avoid those topics that will cause conflict.
Yeah.
Don't make family nights family meetings. Yes. Like, don't hash out all the stuff on the fun nights, because then they're going to negatively anticipate, like, okay, here we go. Something's about to go down. Keep all that kind of stuff for other times.
What do you do if it gets, like, you get to that point where maybe it's gotten a bit heated or there's some conflict in the midst? Like, how can you pull it back?
I think if things naturally come up, I'm not saying, oh, nope, we're not going to talk about this right now because this is fun family night.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, don't like come in with the mindset of, hey, this is family night. We're talking about all the crap. Like, you have them doing this. But if things are naturally coming up, especially when your kids are younger, that's kind of a little bit playing on like play therapy. When you're having fun, sometimes the honesty just comes out of kids. So if something is brought up or you hit a tender moment, I would then say, do take a moment and pause and don't just shut them down for the sake of fun, but help them, you know, hey, what's going on? Let's talk about this. And I would just do your best to like hear them out, you know, help them through whatever it's very situational.
Sure.
Like this could be a million things, but then try to end the night with some fun.
Yeah.
You know, but without rushing past that feeling for the sake of fun, because that's not real. So.
Well, and the heart is connection. So if that's what's creating that connection, then
And if they need that, cool. Just maybe this is more like as a parent, don't come in with.
Don't ask what grade they got on their test.
You haven't been doing your chores, so blah, blah, blah.
If they got detention today or not.
Save that for a different day.
I think one thing that is really meaningful as well, is to create a place of remembrance. And what I mean by that is a place where, whether it's a memory jar, so say you went out to, I don't know, a movie, you could keep the movie tickets, or you went and did something fun where you got something that you brought home. Maybe it's a napkin that has the logo. I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You want to keep those things. So it's fun that then, especially maybe for younger kids, especially, they can look back and go, remember when we went to this place and got ice cream, or remember we went to that movie? And it creates another place for conversation and being able to talk through some of the great memories that you've had together.
Yeah. Or take pictures.
Yeah. Document the fun so that you have a place to kind of look back on. And yeah, that could be a memory board that maybe you create together. You guys take pictures, and like once a month you print those out and put them on the board and switch them out. Or it's a photo album, or even just an album in your phone. If that is, you know, all you can do, great. Like, create a little family album that you guys can look through.
And if nothing else, it turns into a keepsake that your kids will probably appreciate when they're grown. Yeah. Like, I know, I remember being like, do not make me take a photo. And now I'm like glad that we have the photos to look back on.
I want to go back and pull out some of those, especially the switcheroo one.
Oh, geez. Maybe we'll feature them on the Instagram.
Yeah, really.
As a throwback.
There you go.
That would be fun.
That's good.
So just to summarize all of the points we went over today. Number one, make family night a priority.
Yes.
That's key number one. Number two, include everyone in the planning. Give them a say. Give them a sense of ownership. Number three, it doesn't have to break the bank. Refer back to mom's one-of-a-kind ideas, mini tortillas and all. Four, keep it a conflict-free zone and ask meaningful questions. And five, document the fun. So if you give any of these tips a try, you give any of mom's original ideas a try, we would love to see them, to hear about them.
Send us pictures of your mini
tortillas.
Yeah, please
tag us, post them on Instagram, tag at thehomeproject.co, DM us, let us know. This podcast has been very specified for families, but if you've listened to any other episodes or you know anything about us, we cover a lot of different topics. So if you want to head over to our website to stay plugged into our community, it is thehomeproject.co. You can throw in your email and stay up to date with what's going on. You can follow us on all the socials, and we look forward to seeing you next week.